Good morning, Delaware. Oh, wait a minute. You might have a hangover. This is probably not the day to start with that kind of a loud
just
beginning.
Just like Christmas.
But Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to our new frequency. We're now on 96.7 and on 1270 AM. So I hope you were able to find us this morning. If you weren't, I don't know how you're hearing this. Anyway.
You got to 92.9. You said, I don't hear Nicole and George. And then you just kept pushing scroll.
Until you heard us.
And all of a sudden, oh, look, there's George.
Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, George.
And good morning, Gage. How you doing?
Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year.
It's a great new year. God, I'm so glad to see 2020 in the rearview mirror.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally.
You know, turning the calendar, it automatically makes everything bad go away and everything new.
Let's hope.
Come back. Good.
Let's hope.
Where is there wood in the studio I can knock on? Yes. Not usually superstitious, not taking any chances this year. So we are delighted to be here again for the Friends of the Library. Thank you so much, friends. We've got a great program coming up very shortly. And in fact, we're going to have the speaker as one of our guests later this month. So It's a really exciting time to be with the friends. So thank you, as always, for your support and for sponsoring the show here. So, Nicole, what have you been reading now that you have all this free time with, holidays and everything and kids and all that sort of stuff?
I read an honest-to-God book, George.
Did it have, like, words?
Words.
No pictures?
No
letters?
Pictures.
Wow.
Letters, phrases.
I'm blown away.
Pages. I could feel the texture in my hands.
You mean this wasn't even, on your phone? This
right.
was a real honest-to-God paper book?
That's what I'm saying. I know. It's a big deal. Yeah. So I was really, really excited about this one. It is a sequel. It is Ready Player Two.
Ooh.
So Ernest Cline is the author. If you know anything about the first book, it was Ready Player One. Mm-hmm. I was like, Ready Player Two? What is this going to be? Like a pregnancy? Like that's, what a lot of people put whenever they were expecting like a second child. They would put like Ready Player Two with like three gaming remotes, or something like that. Or four, whatever. No, Ready Player Two. Sequel to Ready Player One. If you want the longer synopsis, go over to our podcast channel. You can look for Off the Shelf with Delaware Library wherever you get podcasts. And I have a little snippet on Annie's What to Read Wednesdays about it. I read two really good sequels this year. But for this one, basically, Ready Player One, you are in a nearish future, 2042. There is a whole internet world that we live on called the Oasis. It's virtual reality, and people pretty much do everything on the Oasis. And the founder of the Oasis dies. He doesn't have any living heirs, family members to give his fortune to. So he hides his fortune in three hidden keys, three hidden gates in order to have somebody find it. So the main character and his band of merry friends from that one, they now come into Ready Player Two. So Ready Player Two sets us up just a couple days after he becomes the heir and the controller of the company of the Oasis. And he has a new secret that the founder has left him. The first secret is that there is the big red button, the push this and everything dies button.
And everybody has to go back to reality?
Well, yeah. But he knows that it exists. Okay. Ah. So now he has been let in that there is the big red button. And so what do I do with this power? Okay, so that's number one.
With great power comes great responsibility.
This is the definition. This book is like the play out of that of that phrase. So then Wade, he also finds out that there is another new thing that Halliday has invented all along the way, the original founder. He has invented the ONI, which is the Oasis Neural Interface. And so now where the Oasis was virtual reality, you kind of had some sensor suits that you could feel like it might like vibrate if it like, you got hit in your elbow or something like that. But that was really the extent of any sort of additional sensory processing. So the ONI actually connects to your brain.
We're in William Gibson world here.
We are way out there.
Yeah.
And so it connects to your brain. Now you take a bite of something, you taste what it tastes like. You walk into a room, you walk by the beach, and you smell the salt water. You feel the breeze on your face, and this is all programmed into the ONI. There are also ways that you can, in the real world, you can connect yourself to the ONI while you're experiencing something. So while you're riding a wave and surfing, and then you can upload that to the ONI so that other people can actually experience what it feels like to ride a wave. All of this was developed in secret under the guise of it being for accessibility, which would be wonderful for accessibility sure. standards for people to who maybe are paralyzed to be able to feel what legs and walking feels like, you know, and tons of other things. So it was kind of all developed in secret. And so Halliday says to the new founder in, you know, a posthumously recorded message, here this is. It's your choice. Do you want to release this to the world and see where it goes? Or do you want to keep it in secret as I have? And so all of this kind of sets us up for what's to come. Now, of course, in true Ready Player One and Ernest Cline fashion, Ready Player Two has another Easter egg hunt. So the final thing, there are many secrets that you get revealed within the first chapter of the book. The final thing is that... The woman who we know that he has been long obsessed with, that we learn about in the first book, Kira, who's married to his best friend, Og, he has created a hunt for the seven shards of this pieces of the siren's soul. And so a riddle comes up at one moment and it says, find the seven shards of the siren's soul and see what is revealed to you at the end. And so, of course, then you go on another hunt to see what these pieces belong to. All of these things that I've introduced come into play and, of course, are woven together throughout the story. There are some very redeeming qualities to the story. If you were mad about anything in the first one, it's all about 80s culture.
Yeah.
You know, Halliday is obsessed with 80s culture. So it's all about 80s culture. And you know what it was missing? Any challenge having to do with music.
That's true.
I was like, where's the Michael Jackson challenge? Where's the Madonna challenge? Like, I was like, anything. Give me anything music. And the closest that you got was music from a video game or from a mm-hmm. classic movie or something like that. And this one has a music challenge. And it's good.
All right.
It's a good one. Has some children's television programming challenges. That's a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
It has a really good movie challenge that's based on the works of John Hughes, which
yes.
of course there are tons.
Perfect in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And yeah, so there's just, it's really good. And I learned a secret Easter egg of my own. As I was reading the end notes of the book, he's giving his acknowledgments. He's giving his thanks. And he admits that he has been corresponding with Steven Spielberg as he was writing this book. Steven Spielberg produced Ready Player One and directed Ready Player One. So I have a feeling that they were kind of working together to see, okay, what can I put in this book that might also really translate well to film so that we don't have what happened with the first book and you like completely change one of the challenges from the book to the film.
Yep.
So Ready Player Two, Ernest Cline. It's available now. It was just published in November. So
sounds good.
Get it now.
Actually, I'd seen an ad for that. It popped up in one of my websites or something.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I don't know. Sequels.
Go for it.
Okay.
It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's a romp. You know, it's nothing literary. It's nothing that's going to like have you pondering for days and weeks and years after you read it. It's just fun. It's just fun. And
well,
that's what we need,
good.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because what I read is not fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
It
is challenging. It is it's on a lot of best books of the year lists. What I read this week, and in fact stayed up late last night to finish reading, was Homeland Elegies, a novel by, and I'm going to crucify his name, and he says this in the book constantly, that people can't pronounce his name, Iyad Akhtar.
Okay.
Okay? He is, he was born in Staten Island, raised in Milwaukee. His parents were immigrants from Pakistan. He went to Brown. He majored in theater. He worked with Andre Gregory, My Dinner with Andre Frame.
Mm-hmm.
He earned his master's degree in film directing from Columbia University. But where he went with it was into playwriting. He did his first novel in 2012 called American Dervish, which is your basic coming-of-age story. Got very successful, got great reviews, published in 20 languages. And his own narration for it was nominated for an Audie Award in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
His first produced play was called Disgraced. Premiered at the American Theater Company in Chicago, then it went to Lincoln Center, won the Obie Award, won the Pulitzer Prize for drama that year. Lucky Duck. It's amazing how often people who work really hard turn out to be lucky. And then when it opened on Broadway, it was nominated for the Tony for Best Play, too. So then he did several other plays that had been nominated for lots of other awards and everything. And in fact, in 2016, American Theater Magazine said that he was the most produced playwright in the country that year. Yeah, I know. I'm thinking, wow, that's truly amazing.
Yeah.
And his latest play is called Junk, The Golden Age of Debt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that plays a huge part in this book, Homeland Elegies. An elegy is a poem of serious reflection, typically a lament for the dead. But when I first saw this book, I thought Homeland Elegies, Hillbilly Elegy.
Yeah.
You know, the book by J.D. Vance that a lot of people said explained a lot about how middle America, mm-hmm. Especially Appalachian people, mm-hmm. had become what's happened in the American South and the Appalachian things in areas like that, and how people who were born in this country, who felt like they had a certain birthright, how that's been hollowed out over the last few decades. And basically, that's the same story that's in Homeland Elegies, except taken from the point of view of somebody who's born in America, but uh-huh. the son of immigrants,
okay.
and especially of Muslim immigrants after 9/11.
Mm.
It is fascinating because what he talks about and what he does so well in this is, I mean, primarily it's a story about the narrator and his father. His father's a noted cardiac surgeon. I can't believe I couldn't get that out.
Yeah.
Cardiac surgeon and researcher who, like I said, emigrated from Pakistan to the U.S. And another story that's in here is the son of another Pakistani immigrant who gets revenge on the communities that have hurt his father's. Mm. And he does it through economics.
Oh.
Through debt.
Interesting.
This is a story about how so much of the middle of this country has been hollowed out and the wealth has poured to the two coasts.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way we've structured debt and kind of rampant capitalism in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And it is fascinating. It's about the two Americas, basically, the ridiculous wealth and the conspicuous consumption of the very rich, the 1%, however you want to refer to them. And while at the same time, the American middle is just being systematically, both spiritually and economically, hollowed out.
Mm-hmm.
And why is this happening? And he goes and talks about, and this also goes back to the book Glass House that I reviewed about a year and a half ago, about what happened with Anchor Hocking in Lancaster.
Mm-hmm.
And about how debt piled on debt piled on debt makes people fabulously wealthy, but destroys the communities it leaves behind. You can see this with Murray Cole in Appalachia, what's happened there. You can see it with what's happened with so many different industries. You can see it with Amazon, with what it's done to local retailing, mm-hmm. and things like that. And what both Vance and Akhtar point up is that the anger and the rage and the frustration that people feel is really misplaced. Because the in Hillbilly Elegy, it's they're thinking about immigrants, they're thinking about African Americans, they're even thinking of themselves and what they've done wrong and turning to drugs and alcohol and everything. And in Homeland Elegies, it's the fissures within the Muslim community, which is no more a community than saying the white community, the focus on Christianity generally and the kind of traditional immigrant distrust of people who don't work as hard as they do. And all of this, what's really hollowed out the communities is this unchecked greed, this kind of rapaciousness that hasn't been seen in this country since the Gilded Age.
Hmm.
And so neither book offers a remedy.
A solution, no.
There is no easy solution to any of this. And yet reading about this, and especially reading about this from the point of view of somebody who is the children of immigrants, is fascinating. His father, and the narrator's father in here, despite the fact that he's made a fortune as a cardiac surgeon, he's lost his fortune several times through various, once in a kind of real estate bust and boom and bust. Another time, he just, after his wife dies, he just becomes a gambler, compulsive gambler, and the money just goes, and suddenly things are not good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a fascinating companion piece to Hillbilly Elegy. I also think it tells us a lot about where we stand in this country right now, whether you're white, African-American, Muslim, Asian. How did we get to this place?
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend it highly. It is challenging. It's not for kids. There are some pretty adult sections in here, mm-hmm. but it is a book I think that is incredibly important.
Would you read Hillbilly Elegy first, or can this be read standalone?
I think it can be read standalone, mm-hmm. and they can be read side by side. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter which order you get them in. It just matters that you see where the issues are.
Yeah.
And it really makes it so much more, it makes it much deeper and much more layered than what we get from, you know, a 3-minute spot on CNN or mm-hmm. Fox.
Right.
So I recommend it highly. Homeland Elegy is a novel by Ayad Akhtar. And so it's on it's on the New York Times top 10 books of the year. It was on Barack Obama's list of top 10 books of the year. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very rewarding read. So we will be back in just a moment to talk about New Year's resolutions and stuff that's going on in the library to help you get ready for 2021. So stay tuned. So happy New Year again. Here we are on the 1st of January. It's a good time to take stock on how we did on our New Year's resolution, because this was such a simple, easy year.
Yeah.
I'm sure that everybody did everything that they planned to do mm-hmm. on January 1st, 2020, right?
I would be shocked otherwise.
So what were your New Year's resolutions and how'd you do?
Well, I had one resolution mm-hmm. that I did pretty good with.
You did very well with.
Well, you're thinking of a different one.
Oh, I am.
That one, we'll talk about that in a moment.
Okay.
Well, the one that I did pretty good with was I never wanted to be the person who was out buying gifts the day before Christmas.
Ah, okay.
And so I told myself, and also that's kind of hard on your checking account too, if you do that. So I told myself that I wanted to buy gifts throughout the year. I wanted to, if I saw something and it made me think of someone, I wanted to go ahead and buy it. The other thing was I constantly, usually around Christmas time, we're invited to several white elephant gift exchanges. This is my mom's family, my dad's family, a group of friends, another group of friends. So we have at least 4 white elephant gift exchanges that we are going to. Some, you know, and we know the people who we're buying for, some sillier than others, mm-hmm. some a little bit more serious. And so those for sure, I wanted to get done by like October. And so I was doing pretty well, actually. Anything I saw, like silly things on sites, anything with a good deal, just walking out and about. So by, you know, November, I already had a pretty good stash of gifts in my closet. The other one that I was working on throughout the year didn't begin as a New Year's resolution. It actually was, I woke up one day in June and I looked at myself in the mirror and I couldn't fit into shorts. And I was like, well, that's enough of that. And so within an hour, it was like split second. And it was within an hour, I went to work. I talked to a coworker. I said, I'm going to sign up for Weight Watchers. Do you want to join me on this adventure? And she was like, sure, why not? And so between the two of us, we have each lost about 30 pounds.
That's very impressive in
the year. Yeah. So thank you. So I've been on a weight journey. So I say my resolutions turned out okay.
Well, that's very good. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. What about you, George?
It's been so long, I don't even remember. I wanted to keep up with the book reading so that I could, you know, for the show here.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done pretty well with that. I've had books pretty much every week.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a couple of weeks where it's been a graphic novel.
Yeah. It's okay.
And there have been a couple of weeks where I might have read The Flyleaf.
Yeah.
But not most of the book. But mostly, I've actually read the books I've been talking about this year. So I did that. And I wanted to maintain the weight I was at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't go anywhere.
Well,
I'm this year's resolution is to lose my COVID-19,
yeah.
But to lose it twice. So, yeah, with having the knee surgery in December, I did my physical therapy, but I really fell off the exercise wagon.
Yeah.
So,
exercise like played zero part in my like health journey. I think what actually helped was the whole stay at home portion. Eating at home is so much healthier for you than eating out. And we would eat out a lot. That mm-hmm. would be at least 2 or 3 meals for us a week. So, yeah.
That makes a big difference.
The library helped too.
We did?
Cookbooks.
Yes, of course.
Meal prep, all those things.
Nothing like having that stuff handy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gage, I heard you had big plans for 2020. How'd that go?
Yeah. The exact opposites, put it that way. No, I was going to, my resolution, my main one was to explore the world a little bit. Because I've kind of been, you know, here in Ohio a lot. I kind of wanted to travel and see the world. My dad does marketing, so he travels a lot. So I used to travel with him when I was a little kid. And obviously with COVID, that was the exact opposite you should be doing right now. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, totally didn't really go anywhere this year other than like Lake Erie to my buddy's lake house. But other than that, that was probably the highlight of my year.
I think that's the thing that the three of us shared is we at least all did one trip to a body of water.
Exactly.
Exactly. So
he's left the county.
Yeah.
I barely made, I think between Delaware and Franklin County, the only other place I've been, as we were talking before last year, was Old Man's Cave, you know, which is
three counties south.
I mean, it was nothing. And I slept at home every day this year.
Wow.
Which for me
no
is
hotels this year.
Of. Yes,
yeah.
I mean, just I used to travel so much more, and mm-hmm. it's like nothing this year.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
I'm really
Southwest is like, we miss you.
Yeah, right.
We miss that George Needham guy.
Southwest, and the fact that I haven't been spending money on gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
I can go
there
2 or 3 weeks without buying gas, and that's kind of nice.
You
actually
got a good car for that.
Bingo,
too.
Yeah,
I do.
Right. That saved you a lot of money there.
So, and my wife, for crying out loud, I don't think she's put 1,000 miles on her car this year.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah,
wow.
It's been a pretty slow year on
you
that
know,
front. But
it's nice to see the silver lining of all of these things.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, like I said, we got to see all of my family on Christmas. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really nice. And we got to do our whole Christmas ritual. So that was, and it wouldn't have happened if we weren't locked down. Because
right.
some of us would have been traveling. Some of us would have been mm-hmm. with other parts of the family or spouses, families, that sort of thing. So it turned out really nicely.
Yeah.
So you got to look at some of the brights. So what are your plans for 2021?
Well, I'm going to stay on the health journey. And, you know, just if that's maintaining, if that's losing, I told myself I don't have a goal weight. I just want to stay healthy, you
mm-hmm.
know, and my body will tell me when it's done. And so I'm just going to listen to it. One of the things that I got for Christmas that I was so excited about was I wanted an air fryer. Everybody says that the air fryer is like the do or die with food. Like they were like, oh, put anything, put broccoli in it, put sweet potato fries, put all the good things in the air fryer. It'll never be better. So I wanted an air fryer. I also wanted an Instant Pot. So of course, Instant Pot came out with the Duo, which is an air fryer and an Instant Pot, the pressure cooker.
Wow.
I know. And so I got it for Christmas. It's way too big. It's an 8-quart, and which is good for like a family of 4+. I have 2 small children who don't eat.
Just wait till they get to teenagers. They will eat.
You'll need a 12-quart at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. This thing is giant. Like it arrived on our front porch and I think it weighed 50 pounds. And my husband was like, this can't be right. So we had to find a new storage place to put it. But the thing that I did the second that I got it is I went onto the library's website and I looked up, I did a keyword search for Instant Pot and for air fryer. And then I narrowed my search by the most recent publication because I didn't want, you know, the Instant Pot's not old. I mean, 20, maybe 14 at the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted some cookbooks that were published recently.
Right.
And so I've requested, I think, 15 cookbooks at this point. And I did a little dance when I came in to get my book yesterday. The other thing was we got our daughter, she's now 6, we got Wynn a Nintendo Switch for Christmas.
Oh, good.
We thought this would be a good kind of introduction for her into like the video gaming world because she's very interested in it. But we didn't think a PS4 was quite, you know, there for her.
Did you get Mario Kart for a Switch?
We did, yeah. We got the bundle that came with Mario Kart and everything like that.
Can't get a Switch without Mario Kart.
So we got Mario Kart. It came with it. I bought another one from Gameplay Unlimited here in downtown Delaware. I got, I think it was like a Paw Patrol game. She's into that. I was looking for some other ones, but you know what the library has?
What does the library have?
We have video games.
Yes, we do.
Sweet.
So I went online and I looked up. I did a subject search. Well, first I searched just for the Nintendo Switch games. Then I clicked down on the subject Nintendo Switch video games. And that gave me the entire library of all the video games for Nintendo Switch that are in the Central Library Consortium, which there are at least 250 of.
Wow.
And then I could go through and I could just scroll through and see what we have. And of course, you can limit availability to available now or just what's available at Delaware Library. If you just want to call and be like, what's on your shelf right now? You know, we can pick it out for you and bring it out to you at curbside. So that's going to be the cool thing, too, is that I don't have to spend $60 a game, you know, for her to get a new Switch game that she's going to hate.
Right.
She can rent it. She can try it for a couple days. Mm-hmm. And then we can decide if it's for her or not.
Right. That's
yeah.
cool. So
the library's helping me out.
And then if you decide to keep the game, obviously you can keep the same game. You just pay the rest out, right?
What, to the library?
Yeah, to the library.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how it works. I think I hang on to it forever, and then I just get the bill.
Yeah, well, that's
the
one
kid time. Will love you, but then the adult has to look at the bill.
Yeah, that's one problem with not charging overdue fines.
There you go. So,
bring the games back.
Gage, you got any big plans for 2021?
You know, I haven't really thought ahead that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, it all just depends on how the world goes.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm probably just going to try the same thing again. Try and travel. My number one place to travel to, I really want to go to, is South Padre Island, Texas. I heard it's a really good place.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is I'm going to activate my space mode. SpaceX has a facility down there that I want to go see.
So. Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah, so that's another reason I want to get down there. So that would probably be my main goal. But other than that, just travel more, maybe get a little bit healthier, eat better. And yeah, that's about it.
That sounds like I said, I want to lose my COVID-19 twice.
Yep.
And then I want to do a little traveling. I have not been up to see my mom in, you know, a couple of years. And so really like to see that, to see her. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the family, but
and everybody else too.
Well, you know, they're all young.
Yes,
my mom isn't.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, and just maybe just do a little more traveling. Just get out and see something else.
I know.
You know, I love Ohio, but you know, I don't like to feel like I was sentenced here.
There's plenty to see.
So it's a great state, and I'm always glad to come home. But I like coming home because I've been somewhere else.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah,
anyway,
I appreciate it.
I'll get you homesick.
So we are just about out of time here, but we look forward to another great year here on WDLR at our new frequency, 96.7 and 1270 AM. And look forward to our support from the Friends of the Library. We really appreciate your support, guys. Thank you.
Yes.
Nicole, here's to another great year ahead.
Cheers.
If we had
Cheers.
Champagne glasses, we could clink them.
Ting, ting.
And I know it's the state law. That you cannot do a radio or television show in the state of Ohio without, especially today, without saying, go Bucks.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, today's the day, guys.
Sports ball! All right. Have a great new year, everybody, and we will see you in the stacks eventually.